I'm Reggie, and this is the 100th episode of R&B Talks.
100.
You know, what's funny is it's really not 100 if you count like all the reaction videos we did, but it's 100 as far as the...
the full episode.
Yeah,
the full episode. It's 100 episodes.
Yeah.
All right.
100, brah.
We've hit the century mark.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Reginald, how do you feel about this being the 100th episode?
You know, we didn't have really any particular goals of memberships or time frames or anything like that for this thing. Wasn't like that. It was really just a method for us to do something that we could put out our opinions without having to do the whole social media dribble comment war thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's why we're still here.
Yeah. We're not here to look, you know, if I've learned anything, using Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or whatever it is, it doesn't work. Like it's literally just it's an echo chamber of negativity. And look, man, we talk about some stuff on here that a lot of people would probably be like, well, that's not very positive. Well, it's not about that we're talking about something negative. It's about that we're addressing an issue that exists. But on social media, that doesn't really get done, right? They don't really address the issue. You know, it's kind of like these 10-second blurbs of preachers. Well, that might be some catchy words, but you don't have the context, right? Like you don't understand what that's about. Yeah, it might be exciting and ooh, that sounds really good. And then all of a sudden you're like, well, that was part of one of the most boring sermons I've ever heard. Or it might've been just the one highlight, or it might've been, you know, somebody like, just like when people take the Bible out of context and they might've taken that sermon out of context and I got tired of it. And that's part of the reason why I wanted to do this is because I wanted people to understand that as men, we're not hateful. We're not trying to do gotcha moments. We're just trying to figure out a way to talk to people where the all of the truth gets out there, right?
Well, one of the things in the beginning along with that was this whole weird leftist attack on masculinity. It was like masculinity wasn't a positive word anymore. Mm-hmm. And everything that we traditionally knew as masculine was now considered almost everything was like toxic. Right. And it was just this, and it's still, you still have this attitude from we see a dramatic difference right now than we did when we started the show, as far as like what's actually being propagated through media. I think because there has been a cultural shift, not as much as there needs to be, but there still has been over stuff like, but you know, the whole thing about us being here was Christian men standing up to be Christian men and leaders in our households, in our communities, in our work, and in our churches. And to not, because there's a lot of resources or people out there who are telling truths and trying to raise up people. But where I think we decided, well, look, we're just two dudes who don't, mm-hmm. we don't have PhDs. We don't have like, you know, a bunch of books that we've written or whatever. We just like, I bet we could put things into a average person's, you know,
perspective.
Frame. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And hope maybe connect with people that way. So you could, and we could appeal to a large number of men across age groups and, you know, socioeconomic statuses or whatever you want to call it. So yeah, that's, I mean, and that still stands today. That's the main reason why we're here.
And well, and part of it too, for me is I see the heartbreaking struggle going on with younger men in our society, men who are choosing not to date, not to get married, not to have families, and not because they don't think it's a good idea. They're just afraid of all of the fallout from it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I will say this, and people can say what they want about it. There's nothing more honorable than a man raising his children. There's nothing more honorable than a man being a good husband. There's nothing more honorable than a man working hard to make sure his family's secure. You know, and I still will say, despite still on fire feminist rhetoric, which is out there, that most women want a masculine man. They don't want a beta. They don't want a sigma. They want an alpha, not an aggressive jackanape that's going to, you know, but they want a man who's willing to take that role and take it seriously. And I see these young men out here, man. And, you know, I talk to a lot of them. I work with a lot of them, you know, and they're the way they talk about relationships is just heartbreaking, because it's very, they talk about like things like marriage and children as if it's hopeless. And I can say that I would not be as whole a human being if I did not have my wife and my children.
Agreed. I wouldn't want to be in that shoe in 2025.
I wouldn't want to be a single man today, no matter what happened.
Well, it was tough enough when, you know, 11 years ago with my wife, right? I mean, that was tough enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's just, look, because everybody, like we talked about already, is really using social media as their freaking thing.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, that's just not, it's just not.
And here's the weird thing. As a truly masculine guy, I hold great reverence for my wife. She's an amazing person to me. She's strong, sharp, great with the kids, incredible humility, knows me well enough to know, you know, where we fit into the fabric of parenting and in our home and who needs to take care of what, and just an incredible person. And I think a lot of people think that if a man is masculine, that if he has a wife, he's dominating his wife. That's not in the definition of masculine.
No, it's
that's
not domination. Yeah.
You know, there's willful submission on both sides in a marriage, right? As men, we submit our nature, right? Our nature is to conquer, is to go out and spread our seed. That's our nature. It isn't, it's not unfortunate. It's just how we're built. And our wives surrender, you know, so many things in order to be the wives that we need, you know, whether it be their own opinion or whether it we be what they want or what they need or something that they might want to accomplish. They lay that down to raise our kids and be a strong help and support for us. And I think that I hope that in the way we've spoken about our wives over the last, golly, how long have we been doing this, Reggie?
Well, it's 2 years. I mean, over 2 years.
Over 2 years. Like, I hope that when people hear us speak about our wives, they hear that we revere our wives and the great role that they play in our lives, right? Because I think that's what a truly masculine man does. Is not only is he masculine and take care of business, but he shows proper reverence for the woman who's chosen to link up and carry on through life with him.
But when we started this show, where were you at, Brian? You had just moved.
No, I'd been here about a year and a half.
I'd been here
about a year and a half.
There was a year and a half out from moving across the state line over here.
Yeah.
You were still doing your physical.
I'm still doing personal training, still working 13 jobs. Remember the skit from In Living Color, the Jamaican family?
You were definitely that guy.
Had 11 jobs. I just got three jobs, man. I have 17 jobs. No, but I was frustrated because I was feeling pretty beat up when we started this the sense of I was so tired of being looked at as some kind of radical right wing nut because I didn't buy into trans identity politics. I didn't buy into, you know, the snowflake come as you are, be as you are garbage that's being sold. It's still being sold right now. And let's go back to what was my first and fourth catchphrase? Hot garbage.
Hot garbage.
I haven't said that in a while.
I know.
Anyway.
I think that you said it right there was the, this like being looked at. Cause I think here's what the thing is on social media. I get far more, like, it seems like that's a left-wing thing more than it is a woke methodology rather than not, because it looks like they are the ones who want to reply and respond and do everything all the time, right?
Yeah.
Whether as most of my liberty-minded friends really don't have the – like, it's just not – well, you know, they leave things alone more.
Well, here's the thing.
You know what I mean?
Here's
now, your, that could be just my circle.
Here's your awesome answer to this awesome question. You can't fix stupid.
No.
And we've talked about this before too.
Yep.
And it still exists. But I think they've taken a blow to the ego. So they've kind of assuaged a little bit is willful ignorance.
Yeah.
I still, to this day, you know, part of the thing that I still don't understand and I want to understand is where in our society we got to a point where we thought, you know what, if we just don't listen to the truth and we just decide that whatever cracked out, jacked up thing that we think is right is right.
Our education system, bro.
It's just going to be the truth.
That's what they did.
You look at colleges and I'm going to say something to my leftist friends out there, right? Here's, you want to know the ultimate example of why they don't really actually believe what they say they believe? Because they don't want to show their face. They wear masks. They wear scarves. They hide. They run. Tell them all to come out and show their face. Tell them all to come out and actually, you know, they just sentenced the girl who threw tomato soup on a $90 million Van Gogh painting to 2 years in prison. Good. It should have been longer, right? They're about to sentence the first Tesla bombing person to 30 years in the state penitentiary. Good for you. In a federal penitentiary. Good. It should be longer. There needs to be a point where we say enough is enough.
Agreed.
And I think that we're getting to that point, not necessarily where you and I are spiritually, because I still think that, you know, if you really want to see a section of people that take a beating, it's Christians.
But well,
we just get hammered. But
especially in other countries. But
yeah, I mean, didn't 40 of them just die?
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's some persecution for real.
But going you know, on. And then you know this thing of you, it's cowardly to me to not only propagate a lie, but to then prop that lie up by wittingly ignoring the truth. That to me is a true mark of a coward.
Sure.
You're very cowardly when you, not only do you, science says this, no, my science says this. Just like there's no your truth, there's no your science. There's facts and there's fiction. And
well,
I hope I can see, like you said, a little bit of us bending back to the middle of everything and kind of getting away from those extremes. And don't get me wrong. There's some left-wing right lunatics out there too. Don't get me wrong. There's a few of those guys I'd like to shake and be like, "What is wrong with you? Like, you is there something? Did you drink way too much go juice this morning? What is happening with you?"
Well, getting back to the question, since we strayed off of that one, I was at the time when I started this podcast. I was towards the tail end of my liberty stuff. And I didn't know if this was a really good idea at the time, just because I was at the tail end of all the liberty stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but it turned out just fine.
I kind of felt like it was a kind of a valve out for you a little bit.
Well, sure. And again, it was more like I just was done trying to communicate opinions and thoughts on social media, which I just felt like we're constantly being just not interpreted the way I intended to. And this is a much, to me anyway, it seems like a much more productive use of my time to expound on whatever opinion or thing I want to do. because I'm here on video talking with somebody about it. So I think this is my preferred way to communicate what my thoughts and beliefs are.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, but the really that goes into what the hopes of what the show was. It wasn't really about, can we reach a million people? Well, no, it really was just like, can we just, is there just one or, you know, is somebody going to be listened to it, impacted by it or whatever. It was just somebody. It wasn't like any number.
Yeah.
That's still the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, we weren't trying to change the world. We were just trying to help people. Right.
And just whoever. I mean, it does, like, we're not out here to like be superstars or whatever, or you know, be the next Joe Rogan kind of thing.
You know, you superstar.
Superstar. But and we have. I mean, like, that's the thing. Like, you know, we don't have a lot of, like, technically as far as the YouTube space or podcast space is, like, we don't have millions of subscribers and all this kind of stuff. Yeah. But we have people that tell us that they did this and they did that and, the, you know, whatever. You know, the comment section is pretty bleak, but like, because no one's commenting. But yet at the same time, we hear people say, hey, we watched this and I thought that was this or that.
I still get stuff on my Facebook Instant Messenger from people and
– yeah.
You know, my
and that's awesome.
That are telling me, hey, man, I really loved your episode. I really loved what you guys talked about. The ones I really love are, I didn't know that.
Whoa. You know, but yeah, I mean, there's a lot of subjects we've touched on where, you know, it was kind of hard to talk about. But some of those resonated more than others with people.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, I mean, Just thinking about the stuff we've learned. Yeah. I mean, over 100 topics or conversations. And I mean, even about it, we've dug into specific things where it was the Trump assassination attempt, bunch of Jordan Peterson stuff. Yeah. We've done some,
some really kind of pointed relationship stuff, you know,
The Antichrist thing.
Yeah.
We've had a guest, we had a couple guests on so far. We're having another guest coming up.
Week. Reggie and I will both be here for that guest.
Yeah. How
exciting is that?
Yeah. Jim Perry's going to be back. Indiana Jim. I keep saying Jim.
Indiana
Jim's going to be back with both of us. Indiana Jim. We'll have a good conversation with that.
So here's a question, Reggie. What surprised you most about your experience through all this? Like, what was the most kind of revelatory thing?
How much time this takes. Yep. Poor really? Daggone show.
Yep. It does, dude. And I gotta say, guys, I'm computer illiterate in the most epic sense. Like, I created this awesome outline for an episode and I still can't figure out how to send it to Reggie. Because it's amazing and I love it and I can't figure out, but he could probably be like, click it, click it, and he'd send it and it'd be like that. And
yeah, pretty much.
It's killing me. I've even thought about going and taking like a computer literacy course just so I could be of some sort of use, because I'm not. But yes, Reggie spends a tremendous amount of time editing and posting and basically being the genius behind.
Well,
my brain.
And I mean, but I'm in IT, man. I'm in technology. So this isn't anything complicated for me, but it is it's not so much the research behind the topics, you know, I mean, I figured those are going to be what they're going to be.
Yeah.
And that's no different. I mean, that's coming off of academia. So like, you know, spending time researching stuff really isn't, that didn't catch me off guard, and I could spend as much time or as little time as I wanted on the topic.
Yeah.
And as you've seen, because I'll share my notes with you about it, whatever. Usually it's way more than what we'll ever need for anything. But that's kind of what I like to do. But I mean, we've gone through a lot of stuff, dude. Like, what is we talked about? Like episode 2 was What Is a Man. Right.
Yeah.
You know, that was episode 2. And that we did the whole gambit of a man, a fatherhood, a husband. We talked about feminism, how it was garbage. we talk about wives and work. And I mean, good grief. We, what was some of the, here's some of the biggest ones though. The biggest, most watched episodes we have though are the reacts.
Yes. It's weird.
And not just the reacts, but specifically the Latin brothers and sisters, man, who dig the Grupo Frontera and the Eslabon Armado. Those have thousands of views and so many comments on those, which was killer. And there's still people still have been arguing about why we thought the vocals were terrible. And then one song, it was all nasally and everything. And they're like, it's on purpose. He was supposed to be. So I don't know if you've dived into any of those comments to those videos, but I did. To respond and stuff, but those were that was a surprising thing, to be honest, how that caught so much attention. And it's not we will do more, I think, reaction videos in the future. That was just thrown together pretty quick, and we did that. Now we're in a different space, though. It's a little bit different to do that kind of thing, but we'll get there.
Well, I have to this day my favorite episode. What's this pseudo Christmas episode we did where we talked about 80s action films? That's to this day, I haven't laughed that hard in a long time. That was ridiculous. Another one of my favorites. Let's see. We'll probably say one of my favorites. I really liked the one where we talked about like relationships from a man's perspective. I thought that was very impactful. And that's one of those that's hard for guys like you and me to talk about because it's difficult to – we don't normally speak about those things, right? We those are things that we know and we do inertly, but we don't really talk about them. We just accomplish them. And you know, I think the thing that surprised me the most about all this was how much we had to say, right? Like – I didn't really realize how vocal I could be about certain subjects.
Well, here's an example. Here's some of the more viewed topics we've had, right? Because I pulled these up because I wanted it. Episode 9, our intimacy episode.
Yeah, that was one of our most
watched topics, right?
Yeah.
And we talked about that for an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
When we talked about the... hold on, let me find it. Peterson, Pelosi, or Peterson and Ramsey interview.
Yeah.
Pelosi's popular social, and that was episode 41. Also, one of the higher viewed episodes. The Robert Morris scandal and anxiety depression episode, which I now have a lot more.
Yeah, a little bit different view, a little bit.
Well, not so this isn't one of them. I don't think I've changed my attitude on, but just way more aware.
But you
of
have what, more empathy, for sure.
Oh yeah, like especially with my stepson. I tell my stepson he's been trying to talk to me a little bit and like help. I'm like, yeah, bro, I ain't gonna do it. But we another episode 66. We talked about the Joe Rogan Donald Trump interview.
Yes, I thought that was an amazing episode. I really enjoyed that.
The Sean Ryan Father Dan Rehill.
Yes, that
was all on one episode. That got a lot of attention.
Yeah, for
the
sure.
CTMU episode actually got a lot of attention and likes and stuff. Which I do want to circle back on that.
I do too, but that's surprising because that was really a. That's kind of a niche.
It is. And it's not like we had thousands or millions, but
we had some hits on that, right?
We did.
So,
you know, there's quite a few that for us anyway, most of what we don't get a lot, again, you know, it's a small fan base, but things are, I mean, we've started to use other tools now to help with tagging and all that crap. So, I mean, some of that stuff hopefully will pay dividends going forward, but you know, anyway, that's some of the interesting things about that.
I really look forward to, you know, I feel like even at 100 episodes, man, we've really not scratched the surface of what we can talk about.
But there's still a lot more, man, and there's still things that are changing.
Yeah, and you know, I'd really like to get into You know, I'd like to do an episode where we talk about what we're doing here right about a year into Trump's presidency, and what are we seeing and how is that working? And are we seeing anything, you know, not to toot Trump's horn. I just really would like to talk about, you know, what do we think of this first 8, 9, 10 months, maybe a year, and see what's going on. Right. Cause there's a lot to be talked about. You know, I feel like we could go deeper into a lot of subjects. I would like to, you know, we're going to start having guests. I'd like to, you know, quiz Indiana Jim's knowledge.
Dude, we're going to, I mean, the whole point is to, we do want to have guests, man. I mean, that's why we set this up here and why I've donated a room of my house to this, basically. So, but that'll be coming up.
Yeah.
And I want to do more, and there is more things. There is a lot more that we have. I mean, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You know, but we've almost scrapped some things.
Yeah.
I mean, other things we pulled it through and just said, we'll just put it on anyway.
So, well, we had a few blooper episodes where nothing recorded and we had to re-record. That was part of the learning process.
We had the testicular instance, which was ruined a whole complete episode.
Oh my gosh. When you sent that to me, I was like, good Lord. I was like, hopefully we fix that problem.
Yeah, well, we have, I mean, you know, we're set up different now. So that doesn't happen.
In case anyone's wondering, no one's stuff escaped, but you definitely knew it was there.
That was with the other chairs and just the way that
particular... Yeah, even the sets changed, right? Like, we started out in two fluffy chairs.
Two theater, old like,
old ancient, movie chairs.
Old movie chair out of an old cinema.
Yeah.
That I got from Goodwill ages ago up in my office in that little corner. And then, you know, we moved to down here with the... Well, they're actually over here, but the red... which I still think those are cool.
Yeah.
But then we moved to the desk and stuff to help with kind of things.
Well, keeping our media in front of us so that we can have access to those things without looking like we're distracted and things of that nature. So here's a question. In 100 episodes, tell me something that stuck with you. Maybe something you didn't, a perspective you didn't have, and tell me something that has strengthened a perspective you have.
I mean, what was not a perspective I had? I mean,
or maybe something that you were like, you knew it, but you didn't quite necessarily, something that changed the way you might've thought about something.
We've had some political conversations or whatever. Been several political things we've talked about, right?
We spent a good 8-10 episodes.
Well, we had an election year.
Yeah, we had an election year.
That's what everybody was talking about. Yeah. And I would say I don't think anything there changed necessarily of what my perspective was, but definitely strengthened my core, I guess, belief system and everything else. Or whenever I've dug into anything political, the it always comes back to where's the money going, who's benefiting the most from this, blah blah blah.
Yeah,
that was definitely one of them that just kind of,
which was heightened by the whole Doge thing and how hard the Democratic Party fought back against it.
There's one my hope was dashed in Doge. I thought Doge was going to be a great thing, and it came in and they were like, wham, and going through it. And then all of a sudden, nothing, you know, it really hasn't produced fruit, like a few million dollars here and there.
Yeah.
Really. They found all kinds of things, but the reality is Congress has to act on those things.
Yeah.
And that was the kicker, I think, for pretty much for anybody who was rooting for the current administration. That was a big one that I just think they let that down. And so that would probably be one that I'd fantastically say it was a fail, and that I was hope. I wouldn't even say I was like, I was, Not that I was saying this is going to happen, but that was my hope, was that, hey, they're going to come in, do this thing, they'll fix it up.
Everything will be all right.
Now, we're still early.
Yeah. Well, and I think a lot of people don't realize that we haven't gotten through the first year of Donald Trump's presidency.
Yeah.
So we have to really – and you know, I think a perspective of mine that changed – well, a realization first and foremost is how unrealistic people's expectations are.
Well, that's true.
And I'll give you a couple of examples. Well, you know, there were leftists losing their mind for weeks after Trump's election that they were going to wake up and go be in jail, or that never happened because you're just not smart people, unfortunately. But also, you know, with some of the reactions from Rand Paul and some of the other senators thinking that Donald Trump could just come in on day one and just completely change the fabric of politics, and for them to Thomas Massie, those guys, I mean, don't get me wrong. And Thomas Massie, if you look at some of the stuff he said as of late, he's kind of gone a little bit whack job. And I'm really kind of disappointed that those guys, you know, there's a lot of people that talked a lot about backing Donald Trump up and doing some things. And then once he got in office, they all wanted to rebel and run the other direction, which caused a lot of waves. But what I also realized was that there can be quick changes made. And I'll tell you this, Kash Patel, impressive what he's done as the director of the FBI so far to ensnare 7 of the top 10 most wanted criminals in the United States, you know, Tom Holman, the crackdown on the border issue. Those were all impressive things. So I feel like it's a case by case basis. I mean, if we're talking about money in the government, our government's been corrupt for the better part of forever. So unwinding that many years of just pure corruption and ridiculousness, yeah, you're not going to do that in your first 6 months.
Well, I'll say it again. You're not going to root out all the corruption until you go all the way back to 1913 and repeal the Federal Reserve Act.
Yeah. And then on top of that, for people,
so, you know,
the people that are attacking, you know, I think, and you're going to kind of probably laugh when I say this, the thing that shocked me in all this was how dumb the left is. And here's what I mean. You lost in an epic fashion. You lost every swing state. Nobody wanted your candidate. Did you step back, contemplate, look at what happened, maybe think, you know what, maybe I got a little crazy? No, no, no. You went harder, and you're even less popular at this point. When do you stop and go, good Lord, what's wrong with me?
I stopped having conversations.
Yeah.
Because what in the world? It was just so stupid. And it really is. I'm going to say it. It was very stupid. What are you saying? Why? What? This? It's like a whole different version of reality than what you're actually seeing. Besides politics, though, there's been a lot of things that reinforced our faith and our belief system.
I'll be honest with you, man. Our episode on the veils, that did a tremendous amount of that was – I not only did I study for that, but for weeks afterwards, I read and contemplated on that episode.
Right? The thing is, it's such a the information out there on that stuff is so small because it's like it's such a fringe
thing. Such a not normal conversation.
No. Piece. Not that I think that any of those, you know, I'm like full on, hey, these are the actual layers, but it makes a whole lot of sense about why people can't see certain things.
Yeah.
Including not just politics, not just in sports teams, not just in everyday life, but in faith and then in God and all these things. You know, but everything we've talked about, right, with in regard to like the role of men in society, what we should be as a biblical man, what we should be as a country and the men in it, all that stuff has just been reinforced through everything we've talked about. And even through the, you know, the time getting in the word and whatever statistics in beyond outside of Christian means, like even secular psychology really has that warrant and say, yeah, there's definite, like, you know, definite statistic backs up what you say about what the role of a man should be.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, that all that stuff was very cool. But I do think, you know, trying to look into what was really surprising to me, and this has been going on because we've talked about some health related things, was just how much we are constantly being like misled and pulled one way or the other, or lied to, or scammed about supplements and pharmaceuticals and whatever the, you know, case may be.
Yes, sir.
And it goes both ways. It's like you'll see all these, especially if it's on like Instagram or a reel on Facebook or whatever, TikTok. I'm not on TikTok, but and it's like all these things about how these pharmaceuticals are bad. You're like, oh, cool, this guy knows what he's doing because he's against the pharmaceutical. Yay, big pharma, yay. But then you go look at what he said and it's like all BS, and it doesn't even, and then the actual thing that they're arguing against, well, isn't really that bad. Not near as bad as what they say, but they're trying to sell you something. You know, and that's the struggle we're in right now, is because you have really such a thin line of where truth resides for your health.
Well, and you listen to guys like Brigham Buehler and Callie Means, who are true pioneers in trying to get us to understand what your real health looks like. And then you have a million influencers pushing garbage information. You know, if anybody asked me, Brian, who would you listen to? I was like, you really need to sit down and listen to the podcast with Callie Means and Brigham Buehler. They'll really enlighten you on what pharmaceuticals and what the medical industry is about and why it's not built to help you. I actually turned off some things. There's some people I actually stopped following, because once I started following them, they're real good. And then a little bit of the crazy comes out and you start to find the holes, right? And then you're like, well, no, now nothing you said makes sense, because everything you built it on is shifting sand.
Dude, especially when you talk about type 2 diabetes, bro.
Dude, like, type 2 diabetes, heart disease. I mean, dude, look at the freaking food industry.
Yeah.
The food pyramid. What a scam.
Yeah, there's so many things as that goes, that's a surprising aspect that I do think I've changed a lot of. And it's also one of the key things I'm using AI for anymore is, hey, I saw this, show me some sources where there's tests, or what can I look for? So it goes and searches for those things and spits out something I can go reference.
Yeah.
Because like creatine, here's an easy one. Like, what's a good creatine, right? And then you go look and you see all these like, oh, we only use this and we're pure this and we're pure that. But then if there's no third party testing,
yeah,
there's no, that I forgot what there's certifications and stuff that if you look for that, if there's none of that, don't do it.
Well, but it also goes to the fact that the United States is the only country in the world that the FDA doesn't test supplements.
Dude, it's insane. I mean, not that I trust the FDA completely, but like there is just, it's the Wild West, dude.
Yeah.
And you have to really find, that's why I'm saying this, I didn't think it was as rampant as it is, but it's crazy.
There's a documentary called Bigger, Stronger, Faster, where he actually makes fun of the supplement industry. He hires three immigrants and they legally make protein powder in his apartment with labels and clear plastic buckets. And it's legal because there's no regulation in the United States for supplements. Right. So you're like, what? You know, and it's like, you know, I mean, and you talk about, dude, artificial sweeteners. How many artificial sweeteners did they say were cancer causing? And they come to find out that none of them were.
Yeah, it's just like, well, and then they're say like, but again, it's like, here's another one, like berberine, one of the things I'm looking to switch to. But in order to find the truth about what you should take and then get a pure form of it that has things in it to help you absorb it and all this stuff. Good Lord, dude, you have to sift through countless things. And then it's like, okay, well, then you read something about how, like, for I've been on metformin forever. Then you'll read stuff about how metformin is so dangerous, so long-term things and this and this and this. But then you go try to find clinical studies about it. Because, look, metformin is a very well-researched, clinically trialed, it's been around for forever drug, right? And there's not near as much danger in this crap as what they say there is if you just look at the clinical studies.
Here, I'll give you one.
It's crazy.
I just read this study, and this is a five-year study, and I really appreciated this study, but everybody villainized diet soda. Oh, you can't drink it. And the big thing was, we think the aspartic acid in diet soda can cause serious health problems. Well, what they just figured out is there is more aspartic acid in chicken than there is in diet soda. And all of these studies that said drinking diet soda was bad for you have actually turned out to be completely false.
That's crazy.
And then you trace them back to who sponsored. And it's.
Who knows?
Big pharma.
But that's what I mean. Like that, that's the surprising amount of ridiculousness around your, whatever you're trying to do for your health is insane. It could be, it doesn't matter if it's called a workout, a pharmaceutical, a supplement, whatever it is. That is the most time consuming thing to deal with. If you're trying to be healthier at our age, it's not like I'm trying to live forever. I just want to live well while I'm here.
Yeah. Well, for me, like being strong, like working out and lifting heavy weights, I found out that taking pure Tongkat Ali or Shilajit, which are Himalayan herbs, actually caused the body to produce more testosterone than if you take a actual testosterone replacement. So that's what I take, is just pure Tongkat Ali and pure Shilajit. I don't even bother with testosterone supplements anymore because that none of them are tested, but these herbs have been tested and time tested and used over decades and decades, and they've shown results, and there's readable studies, right? Because it's natural herbs that kick into gear the things that go on in your body. But we don't want to take natural herbs because the pharmaceutical company can't make no money off natural herbs. Natural herbs.
Yeah. Well, herbs. You know, but anyway, because that leads me to, like, you know, one of the more vulnerable type of things is this is here lately with my struggles after this freaking Mounjaro nonsense, is just how difficult severe anxiety, or what, I don't even know if you say severe, because it's like, I don't even know how you could qualify that at all. The effects of this,
I don't know, crippling anxiety. So I feel like that would be severe.
Yeah. Well, it is, it's paralyzing, I should say. Thankfully this week, though, like, you know, I'm 22-23 days out from not taking it. So I'm still in the window where my system's, this is what's surprising a lot too about that, is just how long it takes to your systems to get back in order from this type of stuff. But that GIP in the GIP is what in the Mounjaro is what probably caused my stuff. But anyway, just going back to that, the vulnerability I've had on the show with that is something I usually don't do either.
Yeah.
But I felt like having at least this out there, if somebody happens to come across it, it'll help them. Cause I could see where it would be just, I mean, it could devastate somebody's freaking whole existence.
Yeah.
The severity of what I felt and still do, it is lessening. So, I mean, I'm on the right track, but like, I that's probably the most vulnerable kind of thing I've been on the show. But I don't think anyway, I just don't think anything has changed as far as my, like, it's just more like reinforcement, retuning of some thoughts. You know, sure. I mean, there's been many political stuff we've talked about where it wasn't such a you know, there were some things that weren't just a right or left kind of scenario, or the right was absolutely telling the truth, the left was completely telling the wrong. There's all kinds of things that we've done that have kind of been both in the wrong. Yeah. So there's that. But I think so going forward, right? It's just more, we want to just evolve in a way to keep it frank and real.
Yeah.
But we're trying to be a little more structured anyway. Yeah. with how we're doing our conversations. And I think there's a lot more we want to talk about, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to it.
I am too. I feel like we've matured a little bit in not only our thought process, but in the way that we approach the things that we want to talk about.
Well, not just that though. So I've gotten pretty okay with color correction from at least the standpoint of what layman I can be, you know? And so like, I don't have to spend the vast amount of time with post stuff as I used to. So there's that. I would like to get more cameras and stuff to have a little bit more variance of views and everything. But, well, that's not really for today. I kind of like the way it looks today. I kind of like the way, especially the way it sounds. Thank you, Robbie, for that. And because I still haven't had to mess with that at all. It's just using plugins and stuff that he created. So, I mean, there's some post-production stuff. The really key things for us moving forward is just if we want to invest or move things into to get the show more popularity, really, out there. That's really where it is. And that's, you know, that's trying to cut things into shorts and do things like that, which there's AI tools for that. I just haven't found one that I like a lot that works really well. I've tried a couple things.
They'll develop along the way.
Yeah, so we'll see.
I've even heard of some of the bigger podcasters out there that are now really steeped in AI to help make things go smoother. Like for me, it was a little awkward at first because I was like, is this us? But what I realized after we did a few of them was what AI is giving us is just a skeletal thing for us to talk about in the way we want to talk about it. So it is us.
Well, it's keep our in conversation. Mind. So by the way, folks, what we've been doing is lately is I take for the last few episodes, I have a back and forth with ChatGPT about whatever we're going to talk about. And I go, it takes a while though.
Yeah.
And I have to feed it information. It gives back. I feed it information. It gives back. So this goes over quite a bit along. I mean, you know, I don't know, maybe a couple hours worth of time. And then eventually it spits out the end result is like an episode outline for us to follow. This has like key talking points and stuff that we've worked together to put into an outline. Right. Yeah. So that's what Brian's talking about. I think it works. I think it's okay. I think we, you know, there's definitely, we don't really necessarily stick to that either.
Well, but it does work to help us. You and I, in the first 50 episodes, we rabbit trailed a lot.
Yeah. But I mean, that
was part of the fun.
And it still is.
It still is. But what I think the outlines have done is have given us the ability to kind of be more poignant and know when to come back a little better. There's a few episodes where we rabbit trail for like 30 minutes, just gone. Like we were like squirrels chasing the shiny thing. Like it was just, we were gone. But also those, I'll be honest with you, when we rabbit trail, a lot of times you uncover things.
Yeah.
You start to think about things that you may not have thought about before when you were putting the episode together. So there's value to that, right? So, but anyway.
So what we're going to do now, I'm going to try to put some highlights of some episodes after this. Don't know how many I'll get to, depending on how much time I have for cutting and pasting and all that kind of stuff. But that's what we'll go here in a minute after we wrap this up. If you have a topic or question or comment, please leave that. And we'll get back to you. Let us know what you think.
Well, for you guys that have listened to, like, there's been some loyal listeners. Thank you. Not being insincere at all. I mean, it's appreciated when people appreciate what you're putting effort into. So I thank you guys. And whether you've listened to all the episodes or two of the episodes, or we appreciate you. And, you know, we appreciate the fact that you're sticking with us as we go down the road and while we work all this out and figure this out, right? I mean, that's, it takes a lot of,
well, what they don't see, I mean, there's so, I've had to spend, I mean, the learning all the post video stuff.
Yeah.
Was a journey, and I'm probably going to have to learn another tool just because, of things. But anyway, yeah, man. Thank you. And, enjoy the highlights. We're R&B Tunks.
I'm Brian.
I'm Reggie.
See ya.
In action.
'm Brian. This is Reggie. And this is R&B Talks.
It is?
Well, yeah.
We're going to talk?
Well, of course. We do that very well, right?
Like, can I smoke my pipe, dude?
You can. Okay. You're allowed. It's your house, dude. I can't. Like, I'm going to say no.
There's one fear that the Bible does not shy away from, that's saying it's okay. And that's if you got to fear the Lord. There's a wrath of the Lord that you must be afraid of. Yeah. If you're not, you're an idiot. But at the end of the day, we're both, the key thing that holds me and my wife together in such a phenomenally glued fashion is our faith. Because at the end, that's what we look to at the center of everything to go, okay, am I being the biblical identity of a husband? Am I being the biblical identity of a wife?
And hey, what's up, brother?
What's up, man?
Glad you're back from your hiatus. Your hiatus. That's a great word.
It is a hiatus.
I had to take a hiatus. I even used it in the Facebook post. We're on hiatus. Makes it sound official. Makes it sound like we got sent somewhere on orders, right?
Like, speaking of orders.
Okay, what's up?
I did visit people in North Carolina that are literally those people that could kill you with this thumb. So on that note,
yeah,
let me say this. Emotional
into me, I see.
Emotional intimacy can appear in a number of different ways in a relationship. So if it's working, having long, meaningful conversations about your hopes, fears, goals, and other feelings. Yeah. I know my wife wants to, she wants me to tell her about my bad day. She wants me to tell her when I'm feeling something, right? Yeah. I don't really want to tell her any of that. Really.
I struggle with it. Yeah. I will openly admit that I struggle with that.
But I do, because I know that she wants to hear that.
Great players.
Here's
right?
an example. If you were like an NBA star.
Yeah.
And you use that fame to be an evangelist.
Absolutely.
There you go.
That's using your talent as a stage for your spiritual.
Exactly. Growth. Like, exactly. Like there's that kind of thing or whatever, but like, I think that a lot of people get stuck where they're just like, I don't know what mine is. And I can really crochet really well. Well, okay, cool. That might be a talent of yours, but like, you know.
Well, if you crochet quilts for homeless people, you might be able to go out and tell them about God and use that as a spiritual gift of evangelism, right?
But think of, you got to, the root of the spiritual gifts are for the edification, encouragement for the body of the church.
Agreed.
So yes. So it's not, you got to think about it. It's not just like a task or something you create or something you do. It's really the purpose is aligned with the body.
Yes.
Encouragement, building it up.
For sure.
You know, that kind of thing. So if you find yourself doing something and it's not doing those things, that is not what you're doing. You're not exercising your spirit.
Yes. That is agreed. I agree that.
Whoa, what the hell? Look at the spider.
Where? Dude, I'm not okay with spiders. I will murder spiders. Where is it at?
It's right here.
Oh, he must die.
I don't understand that. He's about to meet some biblical theology.
He's on the floor crawling away now. He's down there, man. He's right there. I can see him.
You can kill him. I can't kill him. Okay, well, he's on your tree now. He's
dead. That's okay, he did. I'll hold him out there for other spiders to see. See what happens? See what happens?
Spiders are good, bro.
It has more than four legs.
They keep the bugs down, bro.
If he has more than four legs, Reggie, I don't trust it. You have more than four legs.
It's like most insects, dude. I mean,
I know. Come on. I know. All of it.
All of them.
Potato bugs, dude.
They all die.
Potato bugs have like 42 legs. They got to die. Look, here's my thing. I'm good with them all out in nature, right? Be all out in the nature, doing what the natural things call you to do. Don't be in my house.
Well, don't, I get that. But they're going to be in your house, dude, no matter what you do.
I will mutilate them repeatedly. I'm
just telling you, you're fighting a losing battle, homie.
Dude, this is not a joke. Julie and I were living at Sioux Helen Drive, right up the street from where the church was, when we went to Encounter. I walked in the bedroom one night, and I looked up on the corner of the wall. That freaking big up there, dude. I closed the door. I got a shoe, and I beat that spider. I literally beat it till it evaporated. I talked to it while I was beating it, too, like it was one of my children. Like... It's like, you want to come in my house? Julie's like, well, who are you screaming at? I'm like, you don't need to know. I was like, no one needs to know. Look, like little tiny spider like that, I'm cool. You know, I'll miss you, may not see you. This thing looked straight off of Eight-Legged Freaks. Like, I was like, no, dude, that can't happen.
Welcome to R&B Talks. We're so putting that in there.
That's right.
Bro, that was, I mean.
It was worth the wait. You know, I think eating all the bad desserts made hers even better.
But, that's true, too. But, man, I did not like the Indian stuff. I did not. I liked
the rice ball. That was the only one. The rice ball I liked.
I like the honey donut thing, the donut hole.
Yeah. I didn't like any of the green stuff was just gross.
Yeah, I didn't understand that.
Like soggy lettuce candy. No, thank you.
None of the Mexican stuff that you got in the packages.
It was not good.
I think it'd be interesting because I've had some really good.
Well, I'm a big flan fan.
Oh, dude. Right? So papilla.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
Yeah.
Their packaged stuff is terrible, mm-hmm. though.
Yeah.
I didn't want the packaged stuff. That's why I went to the Indian grocery store. Because like that.
Well, on our second Continental, I will go directly to the Mexican grocery store and get the fresh stuff. Be like, hey, give me some of your best throwdown desserts.
Yeah.
But I had always seen those. And I was like, huh. I was like, I wonder why they have their own section. And they're so bountiful.
Maybe well, now good. They know. They're nobody now likes know. Them.
They have to give them a lot of room because, you know, they keep them for a while.
Where we discuss and
venture,
pontificate,
undulate words from our
where minds. Our tautology and our teleology and our syndiphionosis all comes together.
All right, so he just used the word syndiphionosis.
All means and wrapped up into a theory that we have that's called R&B Talks.
There you go. It's not a theory. Come on, man.
Reggie, I've got a feeling this is going to be a very masculine episode. Masculinity is going to be flowing from us. Hyper-masculinity. I like that word, hyper-masculinity.